Hi, Elliot Young. Welcome to KABU.
Thanks for having me. Good to talk to you, Bill.
Elliot Young is the co-chair of the Portland Committee on Community-Based Policing. PCEP is what it's called. Elliot will first describe, then discuss the PCEP report to the City Council. It's titled Reimagining Community Safety, Portland Police Bureau Core Patrol Services. The report recommended replacing the police as first responders in dealing with the homeless, with mental health emergencies, with intoxication and addiction, with minor traffic violations. The police would be replaced by people suited to and experienced in defusing tension and helping people in trouble. Since, in fact, most patrol officers' time and energy, most of their booking and arrests, and most of their use of weapons were in dealing with the homeless, intoxicated, and people having mental health emergencies in public. The PCCEP recommendations, therefore, if implemented, would amount to a transformation of Portland's police, which we will also talk about later. So, Elliot, tell us about the PCEP, the report for the police.
Yeah, so PCEP, as you said, was established as part of the settlement agreement with the Department of Justice, and that settlement agreement was put in place because the Department of Justice found that the city was using use of force and killing people in mental health crisis in ways that seemed unconstitutional or that were unconstitutional. And so the initial body that was set up to be the community engagement piece was called the COAB. That disintegrated and fell apart for a variety of different reasons. And this new iteration of that body, which is the PCEP, emerged about 3 years ago now. And it is under the mayor's office. He appoints the members to that body, but it is supposed to be and is an independent body of community members who are looking at establishing better communication and feedback for the police and for the police commissioner about how policing works in Portland. So in June of last year, as the George Floyd protests began, Mayor Wheeler issued a 19-point plan. One of those points was to charge PCEP with creating a process for community to come up with recommendations about Portland Police's core patrol services. And what core patrol services is the main function that the police does. And so back in January, we convened the public in this process, had several town halls, had regular work sessions that were all publicly accessible, and asked people initially in a survey, how do you reimagine public safety? What do you think the things that the police are doing they should continue to do? And what do you think functions of the police, other functions should be taken over by other bodies? And we received about 250 responses, qualitative responses to that. We took that information with the community and developed a series of draft recommendations based on that and sent those back out to the community and got over 300 responses to that. And the responses were overwhelmingly supportive of these recommendations. Some people were more supportive of and others less supportive, but in general, they supported all of them. And so the next step is for us to present these to City Council. And this week, in fact, Taji and I and the steering committee will be meeting with the chiefs of staff of all of the City Council offices to brief them on our recommendations and to push that these recommendations not just be another one of the million reports that City Council gets and ends up on a shelf gathering dust somewhere, but that it's actually voted on by the City Council to either approve or disapprove, and hopefully we'll gain the approval of City Council, and then we could move on to implementation. Now, some of these things are longer-term projects. They're not going to happen overnight, but we believe Mike Myers, as the community safety director, would be a good person to sort of oversee the implementation of these recommendations. In terms of what the recommendations do, there's 13 of them. I won't go into great detail, but in general, what these recommendations speak to are the areas of policing that are currently handled by police that could be better and more effectively handled by other bodies. So, for instance, traffic safety. We have a recommendation that suggests taking traffic safety out of the hands of the police and giving it to an unarmed body of people who would be charged with enforcing traffic safety laws. The Portland police have already, in some sense, moved in that direction by saying that police will no longer be pulling people over for minor sort of vehicle infractions, like having a taillight out or having expired registration tags. And the reason why that particular recommendation is important is because in the course of those stops, the research shows that Black people are more likely to be searched and to consent to a search. There also is evidence of disparate policing against Black people, not only in Portland, but nationwide. And so what we want to do is stop policing that could lead to harm at the front end, so we don't have to deal with the consequences of mass incarceration, people being killed for interventions that could have been avoided. And speaking of that, I think we don't have to look too far back in Portland to see where involving the police in what is really a social health problem can go wrong. So last week, Michael Townsend, who had mental health problems, had addiction problems, called 911 indicating that he was suicidal. Initially, the fire and rescue show up. They call the police. They're trying to de-escalate the situation, talking to Michael Townsend, at which point he gets up and with this sharp object that is a tire repair implement and is in short order shot by the police. That incident, I believe, could have ended differently, and Michael Townsend would have been alive if the Portland Street Response, people trained to deal with people with addiction and mental health issues, had showed up instead of armed police. This is a person who was calling for help and ends up getting killed by the police. And that's precisely the kind of interaction that we want to stop in Portland.
Hi, folks. This is Cable Radio, 90.7 FM, Portland, Oregon. Bill Resnick here talking to Elliot Young for our Old Mole Variety Hour. Elliot Young teaches at Lewis and Clark. He teaches Latin American and Borderlands history. He's currently director of the Ethnic Studies Program and has directed Latin American Studies, published several books on borderlines, migration, and transnational history. Also a tireless activist and now serves as co-chair of the Portland Committee on Community Engaged Policing. We've so far discussed some aspects of why replacing the police as first responders for a great variety of social and personal problems, it doesn't work. The question of homelessness, it seems to me, looms large because it takes up such an enormous amount of police activity. Tell us about that and tell us about the way intervening with homeless people would be so much more successful, and it has been successful in other cities, than having the police rouse them and make life miserable for the homeless.
Yeah, so we know based on a study done by the Oregonian about the 2017 arrests that over half, 52% of the arrests in 2017 were of people who were designated as homeless. That is an extraordinary statistic. It means that in some sense, half of the resources of the Portland Police are dedicated to intervening and, in some sense, harassing homeless people. Now, if you look into what those arrests and those interactions involve, the vast majority of them are people who've failed to appear in court because they are homeless and don't have ways to receive notice, have difficulty getting to court, and therefore have warrants out for their arrest. They're trespassing. They're things like that. These are not, in the main, violent crimes that the police are being called to handle. So what happens when the police show up is that you have armed officers in uniform showing up to people who are, in many cases, dealing with the problems of not only of poverty, but often of mental health issues, of addiction issues, of past trauma, and they're triggered and traumatized by the arrival of police. And oftentimes people in that situation will react erratically. That can lead to police use of force, and it just cycles poor people into the criminal justice system, which is what has led to mass incarceration in the last 40 years in our country. It's essentially, these low-level interactions with the public, almost entirely poor people, has funneled people into jails and prisons across the country. That does harm to the people themselves. It's tremendously expensive, and it does not solve any of the problems that the people are experiencing. So what we are suggesting, and what has been suggested by many other advocates in the community, is that we take the police out of those interactions, and that we follow the model that CAHOOTS has in Eugene of having an unarmed, trained group of people who could go out and connect people in need with services rather than further traumatizing and harming them. And the city council created the Portland Street Response for that very reason. It is currently a pilot project in the Lentz neighborhood. The city council in May was given the opportunity to expand that project citywide. I would add that in one of our recommendations is to expand Portland Street Response citywide, and that was one of the recommendations that received the highest level of support from the community. But the city council, in a 3-2 vote, voted against that expansion. So Mayor Wheeler, Mingus Maps, and Dan Ryan voted against that. So those are precisely the kind of programs that we need so that we don't rely on police to deal with problems that are really public health problems. And without that, what we're going to get is continued sweeps of homeless people, which just moves them from one block to the next block without actually resolving the problems that people living on the streets are facing, or the issues, frankly, that housed people living in the neighborhood are complaining about, which is trash, human waste ending up on the street. All of those problems are real problems. The police do not solve those problems. What we need is a solution to those problems that do not involve the police. And frankly, the police that I've talked to indicate that they don't want to be involved in doing what is essentially social work. They realize they're the wrong tool for managing the problem of houseless people. So I think there could and should be a consensus in the city that we need to move the police out of dealing with homeless people and rather create and expand the responses like Portland Street Response, as well as significantly increase investment in services and housing for these people. Because without a solution at the back end, we're just going to have first responders constantly dealing with crises that would inevitably result from people living on the streets.
This is Bill Resnick for the Old Mole Variety Hour on Cable Radio. I'm talking to Elliot Young. We've been discussing PSEP, the Portland Committee on Community Engaged Policing. Elliot is a co-chair. They produced a recent report, Reimagining Community Safety. Anyway, Elliot, let's step back some from just the impact on people, which is terrible, but talk about the impact on society when it criminalizes homelessness and mental health emergencies. What are the sort of the larger impacts on the way ordinary people understand their society, understand poverty, but also on the other hand, how with the beneficial impacts of dealing with human troubles in non-punitive and supportive and helping ways? How do you see that bigger issue?
Yeah, so the criminal legal system has been set up through a series of laws to basically punish poor people. We go back to the 19th century, to the early 20th century, with vagrant laws where people who were found to be unemployed, living as transients, were basically picked up, put into prisons, and forced to do labor. And so there's a long history of the law sort of being created to target particular groups. But what we have with people living on the streets is a series of laws that basically criminalize them for the act of existing in space. They are doing things that any human needs to do, like go to the bathroom, that people in Irvington or in my neighborhood do in the privacy of their own houses, drink alcohol, maybe take drugs as well. All of those activities, when they're done in public, then can be criminalized. And since we don't have a network of publicly accessible toilets, people are forced to go to the bathroom on the streets. This is not a good thing for them. This is not a good thing for the community, but there simply is no choice for them until the city provides adequate housing and adequate bathrooms and hygiene services for these people. And the problem is that by creating this class of citizens or residents in Portland who don't have access to the basics of housing, of healthcare, of other kinds of basic needs, are disengaged from the political process. And when they're disengaged from the political process, then you have a whole class of citizens who are not participating in our democracy. And that ultimately erodes the democratic nature of our society and the ability to continue to function as a democracy. And what you increasingly have is a small group at the top who have the money and resources to engage in politics and campaigns, and then this increasingly large number of people at the bottom who are subject to the laws and the police and the state violence, but actually have no say in who gets elected or what those policies are.
Yeah, Elliot, I have a hypothesis on that moving toward a society that helps people regain their footing, if we were going to show the success of that rather than policing, it would radically change people's perceptions towards a perspective that all of us at some point have troubles, that the poor are more likely to break down in public instead of punishing and making things worse, which demoralizes and angers people and, in fact, leads to even more troubled behavior. But helping and supportive intervention, it seems to me, it humanizes and moralizes. It actually allows the people to come to terms with their life and strive to become more contributory citizens if they, in fact, have the opportunity to do that, which, in fact, most of them don't. But that would really create more democratic understandings and commitments across the society. And it seems to me that does create the foundations for a real democracy that not just permits but structures the society so all of us have something to say, that people have an opportunity to do it.
Yeah, I mean, basically, if you have people who are just struggling to survive day to day, to feed themselves, to find shelter, those people are not going to be able to participate in democratic decision-making. They're not going to be able to fulfill their own potential as human beings. They're not going to be able to contribute to society at large. And so to the extent that we've created a society that relegates vast numbers of people into this situation of what some scholars have called bare life, just the bare existence, then we have created a structure that prohibits and prevents democracy from working. And so we need a massive reinvestment in human potential to allow those people to reach their fullest potential. And without that, we're just going to, as a society, continue to pay the price, and these individuals are going to pay the price in terms of disease, in terms of bad relationships, in terms of hunger, and oftentimes in terms of death. There are many homeless people who die on the streets of Portland every winter because they don't have access to shelter. And we know that many of the people who get killed by police are, in fact, people suffering mental health crises who've been failed by a system that does not provide adequate mental health care to lots of people in our society.
Finally, Elliot Young, the co-chair of the Committee for Community Engaged Policing, will be meeting with City Council staff. My guess is that some of the City Council men will be glad to meet, and I'm sure you'll get to them. What can people do now to support your recommendations and make sure that it's not only considered, but those recommendations are implemented and funded, perhaps with a lot of the money that could be saved from policing?
Yeah, so one of the things to do is, first of all, check out the proposal, Reimagining Community Safety. It's on the PSUB website, and look at those recommendations, and then reach out to city commissioners by emailing them, letting them know what you think and that you support these measures. Ultimately, we will be going before City Council. It's not clear exactly when. Hopefully in early July, we will be going before City Council. And as we've been told, that won't be an opportunity for public comment. We will have some ability to have invited commentary, but I think that people could certainly send messages to their city commissioners and tell them that the mayor has set up a process for community to reimagine a community safety. And we have gone through that process. We've involved hundreds of people over the last few months in this process. And we've come up with a series of recommendations that is really a blueprint and a vision for the future. And the job of the politicians in a democratic society is to listen to the people and listen to the collective wisdom. And so we hope that they do and will move forward, because if we continue to go down the same path that Portland has gone down for the last few years, we will end up creating more homeless people, more people will be killed by police, and more harm will be done to the community at large.
Elliot Young, thanks for all the work you've been doing with the Community Engaged Policing Committee. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks for informing the community about this work. And I just want to reiterate that this is not just the work of PSUP. This is the work of hundreds of Portlanders who put their heads together to try to imagine and reimagine a better Portland. We're looking forward to making change happen here in the city.
Thanks again, Elliot. Take care.
We're brave and gallant miner boys who work in underground. For courage and good nature no finer can be found. We work both late and early, and get but little pay to support our wives and children in free America.